The law of country.
Well, hello there. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Wednesday, October 26th, 2005. This would be Newsreel, a laid-back approach to the end of the world, as it goes on all around us every day. Rant Media is here to help you find your way throughout the fog of disinformation and destruction, which is spanning and is encouraged by our current media situation. You can read all news along with me if you happen to be privileged enough to still have a Wi-Fi connection that works. You can go to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. Don't forget, this is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, OspreyRadio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, as well as SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. Let's lean back here and get a look at our chair. We'll try to figure out where we sit in the world right now. Africa has become borderless in the last little while, with the advent of weapon-grade diseases moving out of control and spreading like wildfire throughout the region. Most of the area has become a mystery except to satellite photographs. There have been unconfirmed reports of strange cults emerging throughout the entire African region, not only practicing cannibalism, but encouraging it as a method of cleaning up the massive piles of toxic waste bodies left in the wake of these diseases. The entire region of the Sudan, Ethiopia, Libya, and Algeria are completely unknown. Fires spreading throughout these regions can be seen from space, and the people of Saudi Arabia have set up a massive firing line stretching along the border, becoming the focus of the region's complete military efforts. The spread of the African disease situation has finally made its way into mainstream news, and America is leading efforts within the United Nations to begin a process of cleansing via nuclear strike. Israel stands united with the United States in the use of thermonuclear cleansing throughout the entire African region. Countries are being analyzed by the United Nations as to whether or not they are worthy of survival in the face of these rampant and raging diseases. Armed Forces Base Freedom, located within Saudi Arabia, is beginning to mobilize, arming as many bombers as they can with thermonuclear devices of low yield. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has assured the world that no indiscriminate use of nuclear weapons is planned, and only detailed surgical carpet bombing will be used to clean out heavily infected regions. Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld has gone on to say that in the use of thermonuclear weapons, the United States will be developing new and sophisticated methods of treating the nuclear sickness that the fallout will generate. Prevailing winds, due to global warming, should take the fallout mostly through the Saudi Arabian regions of Yemen, Democratic Yemen, and Oman. Any of the poisoning falling into the Gulf of Aden or the Arabic Sea should be able to be contained by the U.S.-enabled embargo blockade.
I mean, some of the scenes you will witness may appear to border on fantasy.
Second game in a big way.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Bless you.
But
tonight, we care, and it shows.
The law.
You will listen and obey.
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Wednesday, October 26, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the Wall Global sit-rep for core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this broadcast, you are as well. Hopefully my voice will hold up throughout the duration of this broadcast, because holy cow, have I ever got a sore one. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, and you can currently get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tempo, and SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. You can hand it out to people. You can do whatever you please with this broadcast. Let's right off the top, let's get into some feedback. Dear Sean, I just wanted to say thank goodness you are speaking against God. I can agree with most religious ideas if you drop the extra O and do some things in the name of good. Or drop in the extra O, rather, and do some things in the name of good. Good is a rational concept I can relate to, because clear thinking is essential to discern what is good. As you said, sometimes you have absolute fucking evil, and you're going to want to destroy that. There really aren't enough outspoken atheists out there. As Tom Likas used to say before he was censored and banned from Vancouver Radio, most radio people are atheists who won't admit it. And on the idea of Oprah for president, I would have to agree with you that she would win. As I've said before, she glorifies celebrities like Tom Cruise, but she stands for a lot of good things like vigilantes, bounty hunting, baby rapers. I signed up to be a ready and willing volunteer for her campaign when she accepts. I do wonder about the geographic breakdown of her viewership. It might not be enough if it was concentrated only in one Democratic stronghold state. Also, I was tickled to hear you mention my meeting up with Rebecca and Carthedral. I laughed when Sim noted that the burner episodes are underground. Thanks for the ego boost. Ever onwards, Alex. Well, thank you very much, Alex, for getting in touch with, Rebecca from Carthedral. And as well, I would have to concur with you that, totally. You know, when it comes to the idea of being an atheist and being on the radio, you know, some people would come to you and say, well, what's your moral compass then? You know, if you don't believe in God, how do you determine what is good? Because we need the Bible to determine what is good. Without the Bible, we have no idea what good is, right? Well, that's bullshit right off the top. Generally, anything that increases or decreases suffering becomes your compass for north and south of good. For example, if things in the long term permanently decrease suffering, then they are good. If things in the long term permanently increase suffering, then they are bad. And that may sound like, not everything applies to one of those two categories. I disagree. Just about everything can come into one of those two categories. You see what I'm saying? And it also makes it for individuality. For example, on the issue of, is marijuana good or bad? Well, in some cases, it decreases suffering in the long term. And in other cases, it can increase suffering in the long term. So everything has to be judged individually. We can't just have a completely automated system to determine what is right and what is wrong, which is what essentially the Bible has become. It's turned into this automated system where everybody's like, well, if you're gay, you deserve to die. That's not necessarily the case. In fact, if you're going to kill someone, I think that killing them because they're gay happens to be a very bad idea. Dear Sean, on your 1025 show about the conversation about the conversion to high-definition television. You were thinking of finding the old analog broadcasting equipment and using that to set up local analog broadcast, a la Rant TV, which is a good idea. My understanding is, however, that the government is going to take the frequencies that will be freed up by HD and resell them to core politicals for use in other applications, i.e. new emergency frequencies. Well, or they could just sell off those frequencies to, like, Home Depot or one of those kind of massive core politicals. They could set up the Home Depot channel where it's all about, you know, they won't even say, maybe they won't even call it the Home Depot channel. They'll just call it the do-it-yourself channel. And they can cross media and corporations in a dedicated channel. Sort of like that frequency, if you happen to have that television, is a dedicated commercial broadcasting 24/7. Don't think that's the case? What if Walmart was to do something like that? They definitely have a financial pull capable and able to pull something like that off. Kind of a scary concept, but it's one of those concepts that I think could be a reality. Don't think so. Let's get into the news with the first story talking exactly about that. In corporate doctor news, very scary concept. In Solantic, an urgent care company based in Jacksonville, has struck a deal with the world's largest retailer to locate walk-in clinics in two of its Florida branches of Walmart. Doctors in Walmart. Each center has a board-certified physician on duty and is open on holidays and on weekends, the same hours as Walmart is open. Solantic say the flexible hours make it easier for people who rarely see a doctor to do so without going to an emergency room. All you got to do is go to Walmart, swing by the pharmacy, pick up your prescription, and if you can't get your prescription at the pharmacy, go see the Walmart doctor. He'll give you the prescription, and you go to the Walmart pharmacy, and you pick up your drugs, and everything will be good, right? You never need to leave Walmart. It's your number one store. In addition, the days of cooling your heels in a waiting room are over. Solantic said after you check in, you can go out and shop in the store, and you'll be paged or called on your cell phone when it's time for your appointment. Can you imagine? Employee number 2759, it's time for your medical examination. This is about as Gattaca as it could possibly get. Solantic said, if the Florida experiments are successful, this concept could be taken nationwide. Well, it's not whether or not this experiment is going to be successful. What this is going to do is once they figure out how to make this work, of course it's going to be nationwide. They've already started selling cars at Walmart. Now they've got doctors at Walmart. How long before we got Walmart hospitals and people going in to get chipped? You know, and you cross this with your biometrics, soon, you know, Walmart will just be the stars and stripes of Walmart. We'll all be Walmart people. That, to me, is probably the most disturbing story of the day, because how exactly are you supposed to deal with that? Like, how exactly are you supposed to deal with the notion of doctors setting up shop in these big box superstores? And, you know, I didn't see this one coming. I did not see this one coming. This one caught me totally off guard, which it shouldn't have. You know, I feel kind of like an idiot because I was caught off guard by a relatively simple idea like this. I mean, why not put doctors in Walmart? You know, when you think about everything else that Walmart has, now, of course, some people would say, why not? Why not put a doctor inside Walmart, Sean? You know, I mean, you're just being paranoid, you know. Well, there's the problem here is because Walmart sells drugs and medicine. So it's kind of like having doctors. Why not report directly to pharmaceutical companies for pharmaceutical doctors? And what do you suppose that the Walmart is only going to sell and prescribe drugs and medication and things like that? That Walmart sells. What's the chances that they're going to prescribe a drug or a medication that Walmart doesn't sell? Well, it's non-existent. That's not going to happen because, naturally, you know, so we have a problem with conflict of interest here. And, well, if there's anything we could do to stop this, I would think that now would be the time to very seriously consider stopping this exact thing. Now, on to some Syrian war news, okay? So not only do we have to worry about Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, North Korea, and China. Now we can add Syria to the mix. President Bush called on the United Nations yesterday to meet urgently and to consider taking action against Syria after UN investigations implicated top officials in the regime of President Bashar Assad in the assassination of Lebanon's leading reformer. Which is kind of funny that the United States would want, you know, answers regarding an assassination, because the United States has had more hands in assassination attempts than probably any country other than, say, Britain. Seriously. I mean, you know, these guys, you know, that talk about the pot and the kettle over here. The United States saying, oh my God, they were involved in an assassination attempt. Holy cow. You bad, bad people. And this is the United States saying that. Uh-huh. Right. In a sign of the sudden escalation tensions between Syria and the international community, Britain yesterday called on the world body to consider punitive sanctions on Damascus. The Security Council is expected to meet Tuesday to consider possible actions for two new resolutions, according to the U.S. and U.N. officials. Okay, sanctions don't do anything to the government. Sanctions only fuck over the people. Okay, because the guys in the government, you know, it's not going to stop the flow of everything into the country. All it's going to do is just stop the flow to the people. It's like when the United States had this huge, you know, blockade going to Iraq. The only people who suffered in that deal were the Iraqi people. Do you think the Syrian high-ups are going to be affected by an embargo or by any kind of sanctions? No. It's not going to affect them at all. But what you're going to do is starve the shit out of your people. Now, the concept is, of course, that, you know, if you start butchering the people and they're all starving and miserable and shit like that, that the government will see the plight of their people and, you know, therefore act accordingly. But when you're dealing with psychotic dictators, of course, they're not going to do shit to help their people because they're psychotic dictators. Bush called the detailed UN investigation report into the February 14th killing of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri very disturbing. It's probably very disturbing because he didn't order it. And asked Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice to immediately convene the foreign ministers of the 15 Security Council members to respond accordingly to its allegations. The report strongly suggests, the politically motivated assassination of Prime Minister Hariri could not have taken place without Syrian involvement. Dun, dun, dun. Bush said, speaking in front of a piece of the Berlin Wall at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library Museum in Simi Valley, California. En route to Alabama with British Foreign Minister Jack Straw, Condoleezza Rice told reporters that the international community must demand accountability from Damascus. Intense diplomatic discussions are expected to continue throughout the weekend among U.S., British, French, Russian officials to broker a consensus potential punitive action, according to the U.S. and U.N. officials. I wonder now if declaring war on these regions is just a way for us to destabilize all of these little countries all in the Middle East, so eventually we can just take them over. You know what I mean? Like, if you have this totally balkanized, destabilized region, you could create sort of like permanent war state over there. And, of course, who does that border? Who's that going to fuck with? Well, it's going to fuck with China, you know, and eventually, you know, maybe there's a lot of talk going on between Israel and the United States. Maybe Israel will just reach out and start taking land, too, so Israel gets bigger. You know, you never know where this is going to go. You've got to look at where the money is coming from, who's got control of the cash. The really sick thing about all this is that there's nothing new there. There's nothing new in the flow of money, okay? Everything is about the dollar, you know? And the media, of course, they're slaves to the dollar, so they're going to chase it. So it's up to independent media to point out the glaringly obvious examples of the core political trying to stifle innovation, trying to copyright everything, trying to make sure that they can broker deals with human lives in order that they can profit by it. I mean, the entire thing is driven by market and profit. It's sick, sad, and weird, but that's what we've got to deal with. And it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. And until the left wing or the good guys, whoever the good guys are, the right wing good guys, whoever the good guys are, until we can come to grips with our ideological processes, which are like, no, everybody should just be sharing and sharing alike. Well, the people who are sharing and sharing alike and nobody has any control of cash or power, you know, with this wonderful communitive state here. I mean, what's the other side of this? Okay, hang on. If you got the core politicals on one side, what's on the other side? Communist Chinese dictatorship. Is there middle ground? You know what I'm saying? Is there middle ground in this particular field? I don't know if there is. You know, you look at all the stuff that's going on in the world right now and you go, okay, well, what's our choices here? We've got Walmart putting in doctors inside of their stores, which is going to eventually lead when all things, like, because a company is not, a company is just a private dictatorship. If you don't like it, you're no longer paid, you're kicked out of the company, and that's it. We've got our private cops, which work for our private companies, and, you know, they're like these little nations. You know what I mean? Walmart is one of the largest purchasers of goods in the world. I mean, you got to think about this. Holy crap. We're creating nations without borders in the forms of these so-called gods we call corporations. That's exactly what we got here. And now, just to make sure that we can stifle all innovation altogether, we've got some damned knowledge news. Of course, it's the sharing of information. It's the sharing of information which is causing problems, right? Nobody wants, just to follow this along, that's why anything that's shared becomes damned knowledge. That's where the title of this comes from. The Swedish branch of the International Federation of the Phonographic Industry, IFPI, and the games and film industry body of Arente Pirate Brian, which APB from now on, because I don't know, I have any idea how to say that, have won the right to collect the IP addresses of Swedish citizens found to be sharing copyright-protected material and report them to officials. Both organizations no longer need prior authorization from the Swedish Data Inspection Board. Now, before I reported on this, and it looked like Sweden had won, but of course, they just sick more lawyers and more lawyers and more lawyers until eventually they get the response that they want, because they'll just kill you and choke you to death with legalese. Sick and weird. Earlier this year, the APB was disciplined by the DI for breaking privacy rules in its hunt for illegal file sharers. APB has a notice and takedown policy in agreement with the European Union's e-commerce directive. So, you know, if you stop this, it'll go away. APB uses special software, Black Ice software, to record the IP addresses of file swappers, the file name, and the server through which the connection is made. Until recently, collecting the IP addresses of people who share movies, games, and music against copyright laws couldn't be done without prior permission. Now, the entertainment industry is no longer subject to the Swedish Personal Data Act, and the hunt for illegal file sharers can proceed. However, in order to report file sharers, the entertainment industry would still have to cooperate with the ISPs. So far, there are not too keen to assist. But, I mean, this is just going to turn into more legalese and more charges and more legal mumbo-jumbo. So the ISPs eventually, you know, they'll make a few painful examples out of these guys. After they're done making the painful examples, well, they'll probably just, you know, learn how to play ball. Jan Solberg, the press officer at Telia Sonera Sweden, told The Local this weekend that they will not send out warning letters to our customers on anyone else's behalf. APB lawyer Henrik Poten hopes ISPs will change their viewpoint. It is also in their interest that there is functioning games. It is also in their interest that there is a functioning games and film industry for legal distribution. There is a functioning games and film industry for legal distribution. Oh, I see what they're saying here. So it's within their interest. So unless you play ball, naturally, you know, because music and ideas and concepts, you know, they're all copyrighted and patented. Nothing is original anymore. You know, why would we possibly have anything that's totally original? You can't have that. You know, that's just a bad idea. And to really facilitate this, you know, to really nail down the whole, you know, intellectual property needs to be owned thing. Now, once you think something up, you know, I suppose it could be argued that, you know, having intellectual property, the concept of thinking things up and owning them, you know, that's maybe not a bad idea. You know, some people, I don't know if I agree with that, but some people seem to. But now, it seems that it's going to be illegal very soon to even think stuff up. The Patent Reform Act of 2005. Now, this is some kind of piece of equipment here. Sponsored by Representative Lamar Smith of Texas and Howard Berman of California, includes changes supporters say are needed in a system that's processing more and more patents. You mean to tell me that you've got a data processing application problem, okay? In today's day and age, we got computers and online shifting and everything. Instead of, you know, creating a technological solution to this patent thing, what they're going to do is they're going to reinvent how things are patented and who can patent. Among other things, the bill seeks to cut down on nuisance lawsuits by patent trolls. This is a great term. People who take out patents on products, methods, or ideas just so they can sue a company for infringement if it eventually produces something similar. Which, that's an interesting viewpoint, but I don't know how you're going to prevent that, because isn't that exactly what patents are for? Such lawsuits have bedeviled the high-tech industry, in part because computer technology can involve hundreds or thousands of individual patents per product. The Information Technology Industry Council says patent lawsuits in federal court doubled from 1,200 to 2,400 annually from 1998 to 2001. But again, I mean, if you start, like, how are you going to get around this? You know what I mean? Well, these patent trolls, they thought something up and they want to get paid for it. So suddenly, they're a patent troll. The bill would make it easier for patent holders to fight such lawsuits in potentially friendly legal venues, such as the judicial district where they are headquartered. I see. Last year, 380,000 patent applications were filed at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, compared with 200,000 in 1994. The office says it has a growing backlog of 600,000 applications and a shortage of patent examiners. Well, why don't you say hire more patent examiners and revisit how you're doing patent examination? When was the last time that thing got, revised? Critics cite examples of seemingly observed patents, such as U.S. patent number 5443036, issued for a method of using a laser pointer in an irregular way to fascinate cats so the animal gets aerobic exercise. That's been, using a laser pointer to exercise cats has been patented. To try to ensure that patents are issued for truly innovative and novel ideas, the bill includes provisions allowing patents to be challenged for 9 months after they're used and allowing third parties to present evidence to the patent office relating to patent pending application. Now, all this sounds fairly innocuous, but when you read a little bit deeper into this, what they're trying to do is they're trying to stop individual people from coming up with patents. That, people aren't allowed to invent stuff. It should all be done through corporations. And they're going to, choke everybody out with red tape so that unless you've got the corporate lawyers sitting there, you're not going to be able to patent shit, which is not a very good thing to be in. Because how are you supposed to, look at all the innovations that have come from private inventors? Almost all the really good stuff. I mean, the Wright brothers. They were, just a couple of slobs who decided they wanted to fly. Nothing wrong with that. Can't go wrong with that, but I guess, no, we've got to have the corporations, taking over that. And what does that do? What does that do? That creates the divide between the haves and the have-nots. And that divide is getting greater and greater globally every single day. More and more people have stuff, but there's the great mass unwash for every person who gets resources and good stuff. Well, there's at least 10 or 20 that, aren't getting shit and they're becoming slaves. And it's leading to situations like what we got going on down where in these flooded regions left by Hurricane Wilma. In looting news, as soon as soldiers left, hundreds of people sloshed down alleys, ripping the metal shutters off of stores and cleaning out merchandise. Only price tags were left floating in the flooded streets. This is all happening down in the Hurricane Wilma region. They emptied nearly an entire block within an hour. The hurricane was ugly. The people are worse, said Arthur Ocampos. His shoe store, another part of the town, was ransacked. Hurricane Wilma unleashed a dark side of this resort city as hundreds of desperate residents stole everything from food to pizza delivery motorcycles. Few stores had anything left by Monday. Most of the looting appeared to be carried out by residents. A few stores were spared. It started Saturday during the eye of the storm. Residents took advantage of the relatively calm state to drag tables, chairs, and lamps from furniture store, while others loaded up on cans of tuna, pasta, and wrecked convenience stores. On Sunday, as Hurricanes Wilma's rains and wind eased, people emerged after 2 days trapped in shelters or homes. First, they searched for necessities, walking into stores whose fronts had been ripped away, taking things like food, water, and batteries. Then they became bolder, pounding carts into the boarded-up windows of a grocery store in an attempt to break inside. Others forced their way into department and appliance store, piling clothing, television sets, and other goods on bicycles and in pickup trucks. Now, why are they doing that? Why are people within these hurricane regions freaking out and looting? Well, it's because they're poor. They're being saturated by media, which tells them they want all this stuff, which they can't afford, and they're working very hard, so they come across an opportunity to get the shit that they don't have. This, long goes with my standing, statement, which no one's been able to really counter, that people are shit. I mean, people will do whatever is easiest for them at any given moment in time. You know, this is why enforcement, again, is so very, very necessary in today's world. Of course, there's limits to how you want to go with enforcement. Now, there's only certain levels of enforcement you want to have. I mean, I'm not too sure about the entire private mercenary corporations thing, the Blackwater thing. I'm not too sure how great that is, you know, whether or not we should have, you know, Walmart cops to go with the Walmart doctors. You know, I'm not too sure that's such a really good idea. You can live in your Walmart gated community with your Walmart cops and Walmart doctors, because there's no justice then for anyone who's not a member of Walmart trying to, you know, get into that community or anything like that. I mean, what's to stop it from turning into the Wild West? And as well, you know, it's only a matter of time before, you know, these corporations with their doctors and their private security begin doing experiments the way that Australia has decided to start doing experiments. Now, this is the only link I found on this story. It's a very interesting story. But it's in Brain Chipping News. The U.S. military are, this is the U.S. military, apparently, are going to begin doing this. Not in Australia, I'm sorry. The U.S. military experts are attempting to create an army of superhuman soldiers who will be more intelligent and deadly thanks to microchip implanted in their brains. Now, I remember hearing about how they were going to put your dog tags and enable them to burn them into your teeth, but they're talking about chipping your head in order to make your brain more efficient. Scientists believe the implant will vastly improve the memory of troops so they can recall every detail of their training and become more effective fighters. Now, this, I suppose, could be possible when you consider that they're using brain implants to treat depression. You know, they just apply a little bit of voltage to a certain region to elevate mood, right? I mean, that's what they're doing with these brain chips. You know, zap, you know, feel better. You know, you're your very own wirehead. But what's to stop these guys from using that same technology if you can stimulate one region of the brain to stimulating another region of the brain? You know what I mean? When you've got a whole section of the mind where you've got, say, your memories being stored. So what you do is you implant one of these little chips, goes into the mind, you know, you kind of hit the little button there, and everybody's memories get more and more ingrained. Now, of course, they want this chip. On one hand, they're doing research to make these guys better fighters. On the other hand, they're coming up with memory suppressant drugs so that when they go into combat, they can't actually remember what has happened during combat. You know, the Israelis began experimenting with this stuff by giving their troops weed after combat. And then America, you know, followed Israel's rule, but instead of using weed, they started giving their guys ecstasy. And now they're using, sir, I know I made the joke before that we're only as good as our drugs and technology make us, but I didn't expect it to be applied quite so quickly. Researchers at the University of Southern California's Bioengineering Department have created the chip. Good for you. At the University of Southern SoCal, no DARPA here, which acts in exactly the same way as the hippocampus, the parts of the brain that deals with memory. So they say. The part of the brain that deals, well, the hippocampus also, I mean, there's other things that the hippocampus does other than just dealing with memory. I mean, that's a pretty simplified version of the brain. In experiments, the team removed that section of the brain of dead rats and inserted the chip in its place. The implant sent exactly the same electronic signals as the real thing. The next stage of the project is to test the implant on live animals. If this work is to be successful, experiments could one day be carried out on soldiers. Well, isn't that creative? So instead of, you know, I'm really not into this because there's nothing really quite as complex that we've been able to find on this planet as, you know, the whole human mind. The human neocortex is the most complicated thing known. I mean, once you get past, you know, the sort of the vastness of space and dark matter and all that other shit. Realistically, I don't think computer chips are at the level where we should be carving out chunks of our head and replacing it with chip technology. I mean, this is what happens when the adapters don't work anymore. You know, what's the lifespan on that? Are you going to get 80 years out of this chip in your head? I don't think so. Maybe it's a FUD story, but it's coming out of Australian newspapers, and we're not hearing anything about that inside the United States. And as well, we've got a slavery scam news. Now, this should actually be put into the no duh category. But, you know, this guy here came out with a news article saying it appears that now there's hard evidence to prove that employees are using H-1B visa programs to hire cheap labor. That is to pay lower wages than the national average for programming jobs. Now, for those of you who don't know what H-1B is, these are guys who are brought into the country to code for United States programmers. According to the bottom of the pay scale, wages for H-1B computer programmers, FY 2004, a report by Programmers Guild board member John Miano, a non-U.S. citizen working in the United States on an H-1B visa, are paid significantly less than their American counterparts, end quote. Well, and this is surprising to you? Why else would they hire people from overseas unless it was cheaper for the company? How much less? On average, applications for H-1B workers in computer occupation wages were $13,000 less than Americans in the same occupation and state. Now, no doubt this is going to be cried as racism, but you got to understand, like, why else would they bring the cheap labor in? This asks the question, should they be bringing cheap labor in? Not to go off screen, but they took our jobs, but seriously, I mean, why else were they bringing these guys in from overseas? Miano based his report on the OES, Occupational Employment Statistics, data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which essentially makes wages for an entire country by state and metropolitan area. The reporter's H-1B wage data came from the U.S. Department of Labor's H-1B disclosure website. Miano went out of his way to be balanced and, whenever possible, gave the benefit of doubt to the employer. For example, he used OES data from 2003 because this wage information that would have been available to the employers when filing the LCA, Labor Condition Application. Miano had some difficulty matching OES job codes with the LCA job titles, which employers typically create. Where both the OES and LCA listed jobs as programmer/analyst, Miano took the conservative approach, assuming that the LCA was describing a programmer, a job title typically earns lower than a systems analyst. Nonetheless, Miano's report showed that wages paid to H-1B workers in computer programming occupations had a mean salary of $52,000, while those in the OES mean was $67,000, a difference in $15,000. The report also lists the OES median salary as $65,000, a $12,691 higher than the H-1B median. And of course, you know, he's screaming foul about this. You know, this is terrible. I can't possibly understand why this is. Holy crap. How is this, you know, how can we possibly be going off to, you know, determine, you know, this is totally unfair. Oh my God, it's horribly unfair. Well, you know, to look at this, you'd say, okay, well, what have we done here? We brought in a guy, okay, who's doing the same job as a guy who's living in the country, okay? So, in essence, you could say that he's taken a job away from someone who's in that country. You know, they could have hired someone local. It's not like there's not a glut of programmers looking for work. But no, they brought in these guys, and they're paying them less. And this individual has come out with a report saying that, oh my God, we're making less money. Well, yeah, that's why you got brought in. That's why the H-1B thing was put into being. And people go, but that's not right. That's not right that you're paying them less. Well, in fact, it's probably not right if you want to get right down to it. You would think that if you had this, we're getting past the whole idea of nationality here, and we're going to the core political. This is a great one to illustrate core politicals. Core politicals have absolutely no patriotism whatsoever. They will go into a region. They're looking for the bottom line. So if they can save $15,000 on employee labor, they will do whatever is needed to be done to save $15,000 on employee labor rather than spend an extra $15,000 in order to do it. It's about the bottom line of the dollar. And these guys are going, well, this is horrible. It's horrible. I agree. It is horrible. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, the only reason why you're making $15,000 less is because they couldn't pay you $30,000 less. That's the only reason. There is no moral code. There is no fair in the core political world. All there is advantage and disadvantage and leverage. And that is it. Unless you have leverage, you're fucked. Sorry. Welcome to the really real world. That's how things operate in reality. Terribly sorry about your luck. Thanks for calling. Today's daily hack is Clean Credit Canada, thanks to Evil Vossenary. And this is a really amazing website where if you happen to be Canadian, it's a method to enable you to clean up your credit rating without too much effort. And that's all I'm really going to say about that. But a big thank you to Evil Vossenary. There's audio files you want to download there. You want to check it out. Very, very interesting stuff if you happen to have, you know, a totally unfair and unjust credit situation happening inside of the Canadian country. My voice is shot. That's all I've got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get the information you need to stay alive. This would be a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 71 people, 56 continuing subscribers from last month, plus 3 new subscribers, and 12 one-time donations. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. And if you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by KMFDM, How Rock. And I'm going to leave you now with the title track from that album, How Rock Itself, which is a very, very cool album, or very, very cool song, rather, if you happen to speak German. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Schaffen. Wir hoffen auf Furchten. Wir werden es schon schaffen.